My name is Tanya, and I'm part of the teaching team here at Whitewater. I'm also part of the Whitewater staff. My title is Everything Else, which covers quite a lot of ground. So the last couple of weeks, the pastors have gotten up here and tried to defend or explain or even explain away their nerd quotient. So, under the rules of full disclosure, I need to tell you that I have seen both the old and new versions of Battlestar Galactica. I have no idea what Magic the Trading Cards are, and I have, will admit, to watching most all episodes of Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Okay, but in my defense, I was a minor. Okay, so today I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, a king ruled over a great and wondrous land. He was powerful, but lonely, for he had no queen. Unknown to him, not far away was a beautiful young woman, the fairest in all the land. The king searched throughout his kingdom for the most beautiful woman to make his queen. And when he found this lovely young woman, he invited her to his palace, and she became queen. And they lived happily ever after. I'd like to tell you the same story from a slightly different perspective. Once upon a time, a very rich and powerful king, ruler of a large and vast kingdom, wanted a queen, as he had just gotten rid of his old queen. But he didn't want just any old queen. He wanted the most beautiful in all the land. So he sent out his soldiers and servants throughout his kingdom in search of this perfect woman. They brought back 400 young women for him to choose from. And these women were told to compete for his affection, and the winner would be made queen. This is the story of Esther. The first story I told you is the one that most like the one I learned in Sunday school. But I think the second story about the bachelor king is a bit closer. And in fact, in reality, the story is worse than any episode of The Bachelor or any episode of reality TV. The story starts with a drunken party and ends with someone getting impaled on a 75-foot pole. Today we're going to talk about Esther. Now, Esther is one of the books in the Bible, and it's a little bit different than some. It's one of the two books in the Bible where God is never mentioned directly. We don't know who the author of Esther was, and it's one of two books that was named after women. The story happens in approximately 483 BC, which meant nothing to me. So when I looked it up, to put it in context for you, this is about the same time that Xerxes and the Persian Empire are battling the 300. So yes, the movie was based on real people, real events, and yes, I will admit to having watched it. All right, so Xerxes, real person, he became king at the age of 36. He reigned about 21 years until one of his sons murdered him. He was the king, king of kings, king of all the nations is what he called himself. He was the king of the Persian Empire. Typically today when we think of Persia, we think of the Iraq, Iran, but his empire was actually quite a bit bigger. As you can see, it goes all the way from Pakistan, Afghanistan, down into Egypt, covers Turkey, Israel, all the way up into Greece. So the story of Esther starts with Xerxes having been throwing this party for about 18 months. This party is to demonstrate how rich, how powerful, how amazingly wonderful he is. And you can imagine, it's just a drunken mess. And egged on by his companions, they say, "Prove to us your queen is the most beautiful in all the world." And he commands Queen Vashti to come out and show herself. Well, understandably, she thinks that that's a really bad idea, and she refuses to come. Well, now he's stuck. He's king, his queen won't obey. So he says to his advisors, you know, what should I do? And they say, you should send out a proclamation. She can no longer be queen. And so he does that. Well, now he's stuck because he doesn't have a queen. So he talks to his advisors again, because that worked out so well the first time. And they come up with a suggestion that this is where it sounds a lot like a reality TV show. They suggest that there's a search throughout the entire kingdom and that young virgins be brought to the harem in the capital city, and whichever one pleases the king, she gets to be queen. So about 400 young women are brought into the capital city. And so this is where Esther enters our story. She's a young Jew. She's orphaned. She's being raised by her cousin Mordecai. And she's brought into the harem. Her cousin has told her, don't tell anyone you're a Jew. Okay. And now she goes through 12 months of beauty rituals and whatnot, and then it's her turn to go to the king. And if it goes well, she'll be queen. If not, she's sent back to the harem. Okay, well, obviously it goes well. She's named queen. And at this point, the king still does not know that she's a Jew. All right, we have two other key characters, in our story. The first is Mordecai, okay, Esther's cousin. Obviously, he's a Jew. He is part of the king's court. He's an official in the king's court. Okay, the other one is Haman. Now, Haman hates the Jews. He hates all the Jews, but he especially hates Mordecai because Mordecai will not bow down and give Haman the respect that Haman thinks he deserves because Haman is second to the king. Well, Haman hates the Jews so much that he comes up with a plot and he convinces the king to send out an edict throughout the entire kingdom that says on this specific day, all the Jews are to be slaughtered. Mordecai hears of the decree. He's obviously upset. And Esther hears her cousin is upset and sends servants to find out what's going on. And this is where Mordecai tells her of the plot to kill all the Jews. What can I do? He tells her, you should go talk to the king. Well, she points out that even though she's queen, she cannot walk into the court uninvited. Anyone who does so could be killed unless the king holds out his scepter to the queen or to whoever that person is. And Mordecai says to her, perhaps this is why you are here at this place, at this point in time. Perhaps you have this position to save the Jews. I might be killed. Yes. The Jews will be saved, but perhaps it's you. And so she tells Mordecai to get the Jews of the city together to fast. And after 3 days, she'll go in and talk to the king. And if I perish, I perish, she says. So the king asks Esther, what do you want? And she invites him to a banquet along with Haman that evening. And they come. Well, Haman, at this banquet, the king says to her, Esther, what is it that you want? And she says, please come tomorrow night to another banquet. Now, at this point, Haman should be on cloud nine. He should be the happiest man in the kingdom because not once, but twice, he's going to get to go to a banquet with the king and queen. And yet, he is so angry. There's this thorn in his side, and this thorn is called Mordecai. And he goes home after the banquet, and he talks to his friends and his wife, and he says, what can I do? And they say, build a 75-foot pole and have him impaled. That night, the king can't sleep. And so he orders that the royal logbook, the record of his rule, be brought out and read to him. And the story of how Mordecai saved his life from an assassination attempt is read to him. Coincidentally, I'm sure. And he goes, did we ever do anything to honor Mordecai? And no, is the answer. So the next morning he talks to Haman and he says, what should I do to honor a man? And Haman's thinking, this is about me. It's always about me. And he says, you should put on the royal robe and he should be on the king's horse and led through the town proclaiming, this is what the king does to honor a man. And the king tells him, do it for Mordecai. He's exceptionally happy to be doing this, I'm sure. That night is banquet number two. And again, the king asks Esther, what is it that I can do for you? And she then tells him, she begs for her life, and she begs for the life of her people. She reveals this plot of Haman's. The king is so angry, he storms out of the room. Haman, seeing that he is in deep trouble, throws himself at the queen's couch and starts begging for his life. And the king comes in and sees Haman and accuses him of saying, oh, on top of everything else, you're going to accost my queen? What should we do with him? And this is where he finds out that Haman has built this pole, and he orders Haman to be impaled upon his own pole. And then Mordecai is promoted to second in command. And Mordecai and Esther are now given permission to do what needs to be done to protect the Jews. And so they send out another royal edict giving the Jews permission to defend themselves on the day of attack. God's protection of people group is saved because this one woman stepped out in faith. Esther's story starts out scary and ugly, pleased the king. We're pretty sure they weren't playing chutes and ladders. Or be sentenced to life in a harem, which is a glorified prison for women. It's not a romantic story. I think it sounds a lot more like rape. It's not like if she could deny the most powerful man in the world and live to tell the story. And yet she, a woman not of royalty, finds favor above all the other women and is made queen. And now she has access to the king and is able to use that to save the Jews throughout the Persian Empire. Esther's story is a complicated knot of events. And all we can see is that it's going to end badly for the Jews. And then we see the knot become divinely untangled. How many other times has this happened in the Bible? Let's say we have Noah, world will be destroyed with a flood. Abraham, move to this place where I tell you, and by the way, kill your son. Joseph was imprisoned for something he didn't do. Rahab, your city's going to be destroyed, but hey, why don't you hang a red rope outside your window? That'll save you. Ruth, you and your mother-in-law are without financial means or protection. Bathsheba, who we talked about last week, has one night with the king, and then tragedy after tragedy follows. Daniel is thrown into a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego won't bow down to the king's statue and are thrown into a fiery furnace. And the thing is that none of them knew how it was going to turn out. And yet all of them stepped out in faith. These bad situations turned out good. God's glory was revealed. He showed who he is and what he's doing here on earth. And we think about these stories and we say, okay, how does that apply to me? What do I do when I've got that knot in my life? What do I do when it's so complicated? I don't see how it can turn out. You know, and it's really easy when we look at Esther's story to see how God was working. He wasn't mentioned in the book, and yet you can see his hand through the entire story. But it's easy because hindsight is always clear. In the midst of it all, she couldn't see the big picture. She didn't know what was going to happen. Our lives are the same way. God has this big picture, and we just get to see the here and now. And we know that God has it under control and that he's working it out, but we only see this glimpse. We had a pastor once who described that there was this red thread that ran throughout the Bible and tied everything together. And I realized that's the exact same thing that we've been teaching here at Whitewater, that thread that runs through each Bible story is the story of redemption and restoration. Noah's Ark saved his family. Abraham became the father of the nation of Israel. And, of course, he didn't have to kill his son. Joseph was able to protect the Jews from the famine while they were living in Egypt. Rahab saved her family, and she's part of the lineage of Jesus. And it goes on and on. Esther's the story of this one woman used to save God's people, the Jews. But it's also a story that we can relate to about a woman placed in a difficult place, having to step out in faith into the unknown. So what do we do when we have this knotted, complicated life? And here's what I think we see the characters in the stories of the Bible doing. I think the first thing is that we pray. I believe God has a plan for my life. I should be asking for his help and guidance. And yet, it's so interesting. Sometimes that's the easiest one to forget, because when I have a problem, the first thing I do is I go into problem-solving mode, and I need to ask God. I need to pray. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Prayer is a powerful tool, and sometimes that's the final step. That's all we need to do. And sometimes we're called to step in to the situation and do something, to take that next step in faith. So we seek guidance. Esther talked to Mordecai. She asked all the Jews to fast, presumably pray for the situation. I know when I'm working through something, I talk to the people around me that I know who are talking to God. It's particularly helpful when they can speak out of experience, but I know that they're speaking out of wisdom and knowledge. And if you don't have someone in your life or someone's in your life like that, we have the pastors, the elders, the teaching team, all good resources. Larry Andrews is a professional counselor. If you're a guy, we've got the Death Wishes group. Lots of ways. And then we have to step out and do. We have to walk and do in faith what we are called to do by God. It wasn't easy for Esther to walk into the king's court. She could have been killed on the spot. But she knew she had to try. God could have saved the Jews without her. Perhaps this is what she was called to do. In the story of Esther, chapter 4, it says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your family, father's family, will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa. Fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. God is in your story. Is your story beautiful, ugly, simple, knotted? God meets us where we are at. And if we are seeking him, he does provide a way for us to move two steps closer. The solutions may not immediately untangle the complicated knots or messes in our lives, but as we work through these knots, we learn more about God. It's the continuation of the redemption and restoration story through the Bible. And as God moved in Esther's life, he wants to move in your life. Seek him, he will be found, and let him be a part of your story. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the community that we have here. Thank you that you are moving and working in our lives, God, that you see where we're at and that you want to be a part of where we're at, God, that you want to walk with us through these complicated days of our lives. In your name, amen.